Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Oh, yes. 302, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Fan. I don't know what happened there. It's 3 o'clock.
That was JJ-esque.
Was it? On The Fan. 888-808-1019. Big night for the Mets. Yankees were off, looking to start a series tonight at Yankee Stadium against the A's. Continue and build off of a win against the Cincinnati Reds, ending that series and try and get back in their winning ways. Talking a lot about baseball here for the first 3 hours as we got you all the way till 5 a.m. on this five-hour midnight ride. Three down, two more to go. Let's get to the calls here with some baseball stuff. We'll get to the Knicks as well and their pick. And when are they going to hire a coach? Because now we've gone through the draft without a head coach for the New York Knicks. We're not that far away from free agency. At what point are they going to have a coach in here so that they can tell the free agents, like, hey, this is the guy you're playing for. This is the style of basketball. You can't just give them the Steve Bondi report and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to get a coach who's improved at these things. He's going to be really good at he's going to work with young players. He's going to develop a rotation. He's going to work with his staff and with the front office. And, you know, those are all the things. He's going to be more, you know, creative offensively. Like, who is he? Like, yeah, in the exit meetings, I was told that the problem was the players didn't know their roles. Well, how are you going to sell free agents on their role when we don't know who the coach is? But don't worry, I'm told they have a plan. I'm told this is going perfectly swimmingly. It's exactly how they wanted to handle it. They're doing everything exactly how they should be doing it. This is perfect. The Knicks are handling it unbelievably well. Boggles my mind. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mikey V in Westchester. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right. I'm just wondering, now that Griffin Canning is, I mean, that looked like an Achilles pop. We've seen it before.
Yes.
You saw with Rodgers earlier. You know, that's just...
No, Rodgers, we saw three different NBA superstars have it this entire... are very familiar with that that snap and the vibration in the calf muscle. We know exactly what it looks like. We saw it last night. Yeah. We didn't have to wait for Mendoza to tell us it was an Achilles. We all knew it.
Yeah, bad.
Bad.
I'm wondering, where do we go now from here? And are you willing... Who are we willing to trade? Because... You know, Beatty's been doing well, but is he really our future third baseman? So, like, I'm down to trade him. So, like, do we trade him, or do we try to trade, you know, obviously, this pitching lab, I mean, it's been proven right, you know? At first, you were like, oh, I don't believe in the pitching lab, but now you're coming –
Yeah,
you know,
no, it's not that I didn't believe in the pitching lab, quote unquote. I knew they did a very good job with pitchers. It's just that I felt like they're trying to win a championship. It was one thing last year when it was kind of, you know, not a rebuilding or a retooling year, but it was kind of like, hey, maybe things go right. Maybe we can compete for the playoffs. And so they're not going to invest a lot of money into this rotation. Like, I understood it more last year. This year, I felt like now you're trying to compete for a championship. You need better starting pitching. You need guys you can count on.
Yeah,
but they've done an incredible job. I totally agree with you. They've had the best rotation in baseball. They still do, despite some of the falterings of the last two and a half weeks or so. They still have the best starting ERA in the sport. So they've definitely done a great job. But now with the injuries and some of the ineffectiveness from some of the guys, I think you might have to look at the starting market.
When the starting market, but. I highly doubt they're going to do this, but there's no way they're going to put up like Tong or McLean, correct?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to bring up those guys. I don't think they'll do it unless they deem them ready. I think they'd rather trade for, because I don't think they view it,
right.
I don't know if they view the top of the rotation needing it. Like, Senga was pitching like an ace before he got hurt, and he's coming back. Manaea last year was great. He's coming back. Like, I don't think they necessarily view it as a top of the rotation problem. They just need better depth right now. And I don't think they would bring up any of those guys unless they felt they were completely ready. They want to bring up Tong and have him be in the rotation, period. They don't want to bring him up just to get through the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then bring him back down. McLean or Spro. Tong is only in Double A. But again, they wouldn't bring these guys up, these top prospects. You don't bring them up just to fill in for 2 weeks.
No, I agree. I wasn't sure if they were on the trading block or not.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? The other thing with the pitching staff is, and I'll let you finish your next point, I promise. The thing with trading, like, if you are going to treat your rotation this way, and you're not going to sign any big-time free agents over the age of 30, you're not going to give big contracts like the Yankees gave for Max Fried, if you're not going to do those things, it's now hard to trade pitching prospects, because that's kind of how you want to build your rotation. You want to find guys throughout your farm system, and you want to go out and get, you know, pitchers that you see value in and do things with them. So, like, it's tough to trade pitching prospects, because how are you going to have cheap, inexpensive pitching if you trade away your pitching prospects? So I don't know how the Mets are going to handle it.
The other thing would be is you know, what will they do, though, is what will Stearns do to get us to that next step? Because, you know, even though we do have bats, they're just not performing. I mean, Soto's finally back.
Yeah, he's been great.
But you know, and I have faith in Lindor. I have faith in Alonso. But everything else, the bottom half is God. So I don't know if they're going to trade for a bat, which, you know, they haven't done in a while.
I think they have to.
Like, what do you do? They have to.
I think they're trading for a lot. I think they're going to go out there. I think now you've thrown starting pitching into the mix. Now, Evan today was doing the pipe dream of getting back Jake DeGrom. I don't see necessarily that happening. The Rangers are still in it. The Rangers are a year removed from a championship. The Rangers have good players. They have a positive run differential. They're in a division they can win if they get hot. Like, I doubt, you know, Bochy's 100 years old. I don't think they're punting on seasons with Bochy as the manager. Like, I just think they're going to try and win. I don't think they'd be willing to trade him as long as he's healthy. Again, he was flirting with a perfect game the other day. He's still pitching to a very low ERA. He's thrusted himself into the mix of the Cy Young. You know, I don't know if he'll pitch enough innings. We'll see how they view him. But, like, Jake DeGrom is great, but I just can't imagine. And even when he asked, Evan had on Howie Rose today, and Howie Rose made it seem like Jake wouldn't want to come back, that by the end he wasn't all that happy being a Met. And I know that was a talking point when he left, and I felt an easy one, a convenient one, for people who wanted to just not blame the owner, because we're so inclined to be happy because the Wilpons were terrible. I don't see that happening, but and I don't think they would trade for that level of pitcher. I don't think they would give that. And plus his contract at his age, I just don't. Two Tommy John surgeries, I just don't see it.
The ex-Met, if Met fans want a reunion, who is much more likely, is Seth Lugo.
I was just going to, as you were saying, I'm like, Seth Lugo, they're really floundering.
And he has a player option for next year at $15 million. Based on what he's done the last 2 years, you'd think he'd opt out.
Yeah. So if they can't keep him, if their season is kind of floundering right now, they're not having the same success they had last year, although they kind of turned it on the second half last year as well, if I remember correctly. So, but we'll see with Kansas City. Seth Lugo is definitely an option. That would be a more along the line of a possibility there, especially worst comes to worst. He opts in for $15 million. They'll deal with that next year. But yeah, now you're looking at depth in the starting rotation. You're looking for a bat or two, and ideally an arm in the bullpen. I mean, you could every aspect of the team you could look for. You could look for starting pitching, bullpen help, and a couple of bats. There's no doubt. You would look for a center fielder. I would think that's the easiest way to get a bat. But you could look anywhere and make adjustments. Now, again, Vientos coming back and being good would help a lot. And that would maybe make Beatty available for trade bait. I don't know the value Beatty has right now. as someone who's a proven minor leaguer but hasn't yet and had multiple opportunities to prove he can hit at the major league level and hasn't. I don't know how he's valued throughout baseball. But that would be, if Vientos comes back and hits, I would think Beatty is an option to be moved, sure. I think everyone's on the table, but you got to do it for the right deal. I just don't know at what upper, I don't think they would trade for top level starting pitching. I don't know if they would, like what top level outfielder is going to be available, but I think they could bring in a difference maker in the outfield. They still have Winker coming back. You know, hopefully Vientos gets hot. They do have Siri coming back at some point. I just don't know at what level. And then the bullpen, I think they would be willing to trade for top-level bullpen guys, back end of the bullpen guys, but that's them along with everybody else. So I don't know what level of prospects they're willing to trade. I don't know how they view this thing. I don't know what the trade market's going to like shake out like. It's harder than ever to get a good feel of what the trade deadline is going to look like or what your team, and in our case, Mets and Yankees, I just don't know how you view. I can tell you what the wants are. I can tell you what the holes are that they need filled. I just don't even know how to go about trying to figure out how to do it. I think the Yankees are definitely going to look for a preferably right-handed infield bat, and they're certainly going to look for back end of the bullpen arms, but are they going to be there? And what level prospects are you willing to move? And you and how many other teams are going to be in the market for those type things? Certainly the bullpen, forget about it. Everyone's looking for bullpen. The right-handed infield bat, maybe there's a couple. But you're talking about Luis Rengifo. You're talking about IKF. Those are the names you're going to be talking about. Again, who knows if Suarez becomes available in Arizona. If he does, he leads the National League in RBIs. A lot of teams are going to be looking for him. A lot of teams. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Well, let's hope they can continue on the winning ways. But don't you think this is typical Knicks with those coaching search? How many times have they been there before? How many times, Chris?
How many times have they been there with a coaching search? I don't know.
Oh, we can go back. Remember
when Steve Kerr decided to go to Golden State, so they brought in Fisher? That was a good one.
Oh, that was a real wonderful move.
He did know the triangle, though. That lasted a year.
When was the last time they had a coach of stature that lasted more than 1 year, more than 2 years? Jeff Van Gundy?
Mike Woodson?
Mike Woodson. Okay.
And
even then, was it sustainable? Yeah. No.
No.
I said, no. And it all goes back to one person. And it's not Leon Rose. It's James Dolan. James Dolan is the root of all evil with this team. He just doesn't know when to back off and let the people he hires to do their jobs properly.
Yeah, I don't know if I view it that way. I really don't.
Okay. What's your view?
Well,
what's your
take? I mean, on this particular team, they've been as successful as they've been in 30-plus years. I mean,
yes,
this search, granted, I'm very concerned about the search. But I don't think Leon Rose would have absolutely done whatever James Dolan wanted, even if he felt strongly that Tibbs should have stayed the coach. I don't think he would have just rolled over and let that decision be made against his will. I really don't.
Right. I think you're right about that, because I think you're right that he would have just stood up for Tibbs a little bit harder.
And the other thing with James Dolan is like the meddling part. Okay, look, if he was in the exit meetings and said, look, listen to the players, man. We got to move on, and was the driving force behind it, and then Leon Rose eventually agreed. That's fine, but like, he hired Phil Jackson and let him do whatever he wants.
He's hired
Leon Rose. Leon Rose has done whatever he wants. We haven't heard boo about the idea that he's being told to do this and told to do that. The minute we're unhappy with a decision, we're quick to just blame the owner. Like, right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that, like, it's a convenient blame. Whenever we're unhappy with something, it's quick to blame.
We go to Dolan.
Yeah.
One more thing.
Yeah.
How are we going to sell free agents to come here when they don't know who they're going to be playing for.
That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem. No, I just you want to get into anything Yankee or no?
Yeah, we want to get to the Yankees. If they thank God for Max Fried.
Oh,
if he wasn't here, let's just say this much: we'd be saying wait till next year.
I don't know if it'd be quite that bad, but it'd be pretty bad. They wouldn't be in first place, that's for sure.
No, they wouldn't be.
There's no doubt. Max Fried, thank you for the call. Max Fried's been everything you could possibly want and more. It was an incredible free agent signing. And it's why this team, to me, is better than what it would have been without Juan Soto. Because what it would have been with Juan Soto. If they signed Juan Soto, and you'd have to say it would be the same contract the Mets gave him, or just whatever. Just say it's the same. Say it's the 365, whatever. Doesn't matter. 50-plus million a year. I still think, without question, they have Goldschmidt. So they do have Goldschmidt, who is a finalist for the All-Star, first base All-Star with all the votes. And as bad as this Yankee team is, they have Max Fried's going to be an All-Star. I think Carlos Rodon's probably going to be an All-Star. I think, or at least has a really good chance to be. There are a lot of good starting pitchers, though, in the American League. But he's got a chance to be an All-Star. Goldschmidt has a chance to be an All-Star. Ben Rice has a chance to be an All-Star. We'll see. I think Trent Grisham has a chance to be an All-Star. Yankees could have a bunch of All-Stars on this team. But with Juan Soto, they don't have Max Fried. They don't have Bellinger. That's those two for sure. They might have Goldschmidt, and they might have Devin Williams. Maybe. But when the minute Gerrit Cole went down, there was no doubt. The pivot was going to make this team better. They're better without Juan Soto this year. And Max Fried is the biggest part of it. He's been incredible. Like, he's been really good. And they've worked on some things with him. Like, he's actually pitching the best of his career. It's not just, and I know he had the lowest ERA since 2021 or whatever year it was. So he's always been a good pitcher, but he's having the best year of his career. Like, he is. The Yankees did work on some things with him, and he's better. His cutter is better. His changeup is better. He's been having, the curveball is pretty much the same, but a lot of his stuff is better. He's having an incredible season. And yeah, the Yankees would be in, you know, and listen, you got to throw Rodon into that too. Rodon's been great. The pitching staff's been really pretty good. After a shaky start to the season, where, you know, Stroman stunk and when they had the other guys before Clark Schmidt got here, they, you know, it wasn't great. But right now you feel like this is the best part of the team right now. What's the biggest strength of the team, despite the offense and how successful it's been all year and how it still leads the American League in runs scored? Right now, you would have to say the starting pitching is where you feel the most confident. You feel excellent when Fried's on the mound. You feel really good when Carlos Rodon's on the mound. You feel really good when Clark Schmidt's on the mound. You feel pretty good when Will Warren's on the mound. And you felt really good when Ryan Yarbrough was on the mound. Now he's injured, and well, I guess Winans, who you don't feel that good about. But right now, 1-4, with Luis Gil on the way, right now the Yankees starting pitching is the best part of their game. And without Max Fried, that wouldn't have been anywhere near the case. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Got you for another 1.5 hours or so as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on the Fan. We'll come back, talk a little Knicks, as they did have a draft pick who clearly is going to be very important to make. He's going to go to and play in the summer league, but making sure he's in the rotation with this next head coach is going to be something that's very, very important. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a real problem if he doesn't make sure he works in the second 50 first overall second round pick into the rotation. But who knows who that coach is going to be? We all just sit around going, I think it could still be Kidd. That's the conversation that is surrounding the New York's head coaching job. Like, that's it. This is it. You want to hear the Knicks? This is it. Maybe it's still Kidd. I wouldn't believe anything I've heard. It could still be Jason Kidd. That's where we are with the Knicks head coaching search. That it still could be someone under contract who the GM of that team said he ain't going nowhere. That's our hope. What a disaster. 888-888. Let me try that again.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 329. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for another hour and a half. We take you to the warm-up show at 5 on this Friday morning. Hopefully the weather's good. Looking forward to going to the Yankee game with the boys for the first time this year. It's going to be a little bit cooler, thankfully, after some of the hot days. But let's see. Hopefully no rain tonight. No rain, no whammy. Oh, 30%. We'll see how that goes. That only means that 30% of the area will get rain. Not that there's a 30% chance of rain everywhere. We've all established that over the last couple months. Maybe a year. There's a lot of confusion around that. 888-808-1019. There's a lot of confusion around the Knicks head coaching search, too, where I just, you know, the draft is what it is. They had the 50th pick. They traded back. They took the 51st pick. They got a player in Muhammad Muhammad Diawara. Not sure if he's a big or he's a wing. I mean, we'll see. I mean, none of us know the guy, right? We don't know. We'll see how it goes. I understand that a lot of the young players are going to have to develop them. That's part of this next head coach. He's got to be in the rotation. We got to play the bench players. We all understand what's going on. But right now, like, we're now past the draft, right? We're through the draft. Free agency is coming. And I know there's no other coaching search going on. I know they have a monopoly on talking to people. I understand that. But don't they have to get a coach somewhat soon? And right now, it just feels like they're going through the motions waiting for Jason Kidd. That's what it feels like. And I know the reports are that Jason Kidd wants a job. He's probably told them as much. And he told them, you know, maybe, look, I'm going to try and get out of Dallas. I don't think Dallas is the worst coaching job in the world, totally honest with you. And the thing that I would, you know, if I'm Jason Kidd, now, again, I can't speak to how much he wants the job. But with the Knicks, the thing about, I don't know how upset he is that Nico Harrison traded away the superstar. I don't know how bad he was, how upset he was after the Luka trade, and he wasn't involved in it, wasn't told about it, whatever the case may be. But as banged up as AD and Kyrie have been, you know, you add Cooper Flagg to this, and look, he's young. We don't know what he's going to become. But you've got Cooper Flagg, you've got AD, you've got Kyrie. And you've got a team that can compete out west. I don't know if they can win the whole thing, but they can compete out west. And it's like any failings are going to fall at the feet of Nico Harrison. Like, he's got a free ride, and I don't know if he's interested in that. If that interests him at all, or he cares about whether or not he's going to take any blame. But like, anything that goes wrong from the fan base, at the very least, Jason Kidd is going to skate through any blame. Because right now, the target is on the back of Nico Harrison. Like, no, off of that trade, everybody thinks he's an imbecile. Fair or unfair. That's the perception. And anything that goes wrong, that fan base is going to be all over him, not Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd would come here and immediately have to get to an NBA Finals. Now, he's got a good chance to. He's got a roster to. And the rest of the American League, as we're talking about baseball, the rest of the Eastern Conference is clearly down right now. We'll see. You know, Philadelphia still has talent. If those guys can stay healthy, they just added a top draft pick. So you can add Philadelphia to the mix of teams that might take a next step after being miserable last year. We're good the last couple of years. Take a step back into the mix of being one of the best teams. The Pistons on the rise, Orlando on the rise. Boston clearly changing what they're doing and getting underneath some salary cap. We'll see if they make any more trades to get underneath the tier levels or the aprons. And I don't know, without Tatum, if they're going to be a championship-level team next year anyway. You're obviously the injury to Halliburton. Giannis, not sure if he wants to even stay in Milwaukee, and obviously the injury there to Dame. So the Eastern Conference is wide open. We know that. So you come here, you have a great player in Brunson who you've worked with before and who you know. Right, Karl Anthony Towns, the rest of this roster is good enough to be one of the better, if not the best team in the Eastern Conference. And we'll see how much he really wants to rattle the cages. And he's kind of already got a perception for that. I don't know if he cares about that either. I don't know if he cares about the kind of guy who builds a reputation of being unhappy and forcing his way out and looking for trades and looking for his next opportunity. I don't know if that matters to him. All that matters to him is winning. And apparently he views the Knicks job as his dream job. That's some reporting. He clearly wants the job. And I don't know about you, it just feels like when it's Mike Brown and it's Jenkins and then it's, you know, two assistant coaches that I don't think they're going to hire in, you know, Nari and James Borrego, like respectively of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Pelicans. I don't know if they're going to hire those guys. It kind of just feels like they're going through the motions waiting on Jason Kidd. And how long can you wait? I understand there's no rush, that nobody else is going to take your candidate. I understand that. But we're getting close to free agency. You got to have an. I know the Knicks, you know, are a good team. Guys are going to want to come play with Brunson, come play with Cat. But at the same time, you have to have an identity. You have to know what kind of team you're going to be. You have to start this process of figuring out, besides, you know, the obvious things that came out in the article written about what they're looking for in a coach, which is pretty much everything. Like, you have to have an idea of what this team's going to be moving forward, and that includes the coach. Like, every day that goes by, now that we're past, oh, you don't need him for the draft. Okay, you don't need him for the draft. When do you need him? And if it's not Jason Kidd right now, I don't know who it is. Like, it's one thing to just say, and I've said it, and I heard Evan say it, and Sal say it, and, like, hey, I wouldn't necessarily buy Nico Harrison saying that Jason Kidd's going nowhere is the be-all, end-all of this. That's not the end. I wouldn't pay any attention to that. Jason Kidd to the Knicks is still a very strong possibility. Okay, I agree. Who else is a strong possibility? Because while I would be happy if they get Jason Kidd at this point, if it's not him, who is it? And can you just wait forever for Jason Kidd under the idea of, well, nobody else is hiring? Like, at the last minute, God knows, as the season's getting started, we could turn and say, Mike Brown, come on down. Like, okay. Is there no conviction in who they want? And if the only conviction's in Jason Kidd, then you better go get him. And it better be somewhat soon. Now, do I think that, like, Dallas will eventually be forced to let him go if he's adamant about it? I mean, I guess. Who would want a coach that doesn't want to be there? I would think right now, Nico Harrison, you need as many friends as you can get in that building. And if Kidd isn't going to be one of them, you might want to move on. But they've also taken a ton of bad PR. They might fight tooth and nail to keep Jason Kidd there. I don't know. But I don't like the idea of just waiting around in hopes of Jason Kidd shaking loose. And whoever it is, you better get him in there now to work with these young kids, because that's apparently the only thing that matters. It's not winning games, because Tibbs did plenty of that. It's establishing roles. It's working with your coaching staff. It's developing developing talent. That one bothered me, I have to admit. Now, I know it wasn't a direct shot at Tibbs, but if you haven't heard, you know, Stephon Bondy wrote a story and there's league sources and they're talking about what the Knicks are looking for in a coach. And some of it just felt like a direct shot at Tibbs because they're obvious, the perceived, failings of Thibodeau. Working with, you know, developing young players, the rotation, playing the bench more, working with the front office, working with his coaching staff. Set plays off out of bounds, like literally just one, everything a coach would be responsible for, and two, direct shots at what the perception is, and that's what made me feel like it's trying to, you know, justify firing Tibbs with that story, because it's the perceived failings of the of him that are out there in that article. But having said that, like, okay, great. You want to get coaches who are going to do all this? Fine. They're going to mastermind this. They're going to mastermind that. They're going to, like, if you're going to do that, it's got to start soon. Like, and tell me again how asking for all these different coaches and talking to, like, what about these coaches signify any of that? Like, because it's so broad, it's such an open discussion, it's so many different things that it's like any coach could be, he's going to fill one of those needs. And working with the young and developing players, I have a tough time saying that Tibbs didn't do that. Think of how many players got better under Tibbs. Starting with Randle. Julius Randle became a star under Tibbs. An all-star, at least. Where was he before that? A major disappointment. Jalen Brunson becomes a superstar. What was Josh Hart before he became a Knick? Like, the idea that he never developed anybody is crazy. Almost every player who came here got better. DiVincenzo got better, wasn't as good this year. I don't know. I'm frustrated he's gone. I guess I got to get over that. But some of the stories that come out, the idea they don't have a coach yet. And right now it just feels like they're waiting for Jason Kidd to shake free. I don't know what else they're going to do. If they were going to hire Mike Brown, why haven't they hired him yet? If they were going to hire Jenkins, why haven't they hired him yet? Due diligence? No need? We know he's not going anywhere? Is that what instills confidence? If you hire Mike Brown 3 weeks after you talk to him, it's like, well, I guess the Jason Kidd thing fell through. Like that, I don't like that idea. I don't like the feeling that the Knicks are going to settle. And the more this goes on and the more nonsense that happens, the harder it becomes to tell me this is the guy you wanted. Unless it is Jason Kidd, then yes. If Jason Kidd eventually shakes free and they get him, then yeah, that's going to be an easier sell. But if eventually in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, they go to Mike Brown, okay, well, how are you going to tell me you wanted to go to Mike Brown? If you want to go to Mike Brown, you go to him right after the meeting. Oh, he impressed us with the meeting and blah, blah, blah. Then you hire him right away. What are we waiting for? You're waiting for someone else. And then you'd settle. And honestly, the idea that the Knicks were settling for you know, a Mike Brown or settling for a Jenkins or settling for an assistant coach, it's not gonna instill any confidence in the fan base. Now, that's secondary to hiring the right coach, of course. But it helps when the fan base is behind him. It helps when it seems like the organization did a good coaching search and handled it, you know, the right way and had confidence and made a smart decision, as opposed to, well, we tried everything and this is the best we could do. That's what it's going to feel like. Hey, we talked to as many people as we could. This felt like the best thing, as opposed to this is our guy. And I do think that matters. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Josh in New Brunswick. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. So I had two quick things. The first one about the Knicks coaching search. Yeah. I can think of about 50 better candidates here. But what do you think about maybe throwing Steve Nash's name in there, that bum? I think he's a polar opposite to Thibodeau. He's a big players coach, big hands-off guy. You know, I think maybe the Knicks could be desperate enough to give that guy a shot. He's doing his podcast with LeBron, the same podcast J.J. Redick did last year. And we all knew that was a glorified head coaching interview. Redick got the job with the Lakers from that.
Well,
I think Nash is out there doing the same thing.
Well, I mean, working with LeBron helped him get the Lakers job, but I don't know. I'm not sure. When you call him a bum as you're making a point for him, it makes me think that you're either being facetious or you're...
No, I wouldn't personally vouch for him, but I'm just throwing out his name as maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'll be totally honest with you, I don't even know, with as bad as it went, I don't even think Nash wants to get back in the game, to be totally honest with you.
I think that he is doing the podcast with LeBron because he wants to get back into the game, but who knows? We can't know what he's thinking.
Listen, Redick ended up getting the job, but he got the job coaching LeBron. It's not like LeBron got him into NBA coaching elsewhere. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, it's not like, you know, being an assistant coach for Andy Reid or being an assistant coach for McVay, where it's like suddenly you're helping your stock. Like, he's doing a podcast. But I hear what you're saying, but good.
Yeah, and the second point, I'm about to pull into the McDonald's drive. Are you a Big Mac or a quarter pounder guy?
No, double quarter pounder. I mean, the Big Mac is good. I knew that call was BS. I have no problem with the Big Mac. In all honesty, I remember Stales having a problem with Craig calling me Big Mac because we had so much Wendy's stuff. But I remember, I feel like it's when the double quarter pounder first came out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's been around for forever. But football season, I guess, you know, August of 2000, maybe even August of 99, junior year. I can't remember. But we used to have two-a-days in the summer right at the end of August, right before school started and right before we went to camp. And actually, let me just say this. I haven't had a chance to say it. Someone sent me the text. Let me congratulate Matt McLeese on his retirement. Matt McLeese was my football coach at Cary High School. He has since many years now, I think, stepped down as the head coach and became, sports. I can't think of the title off the top of my head for it. Sports director for the school. So I think he's retiring. I think he actually had an event to celebrate him either last night or the night before, whatever. Sorry I couldn't make it, Coach. Congratulations on a good career. You were a motivator, that's for sure. You made me want to run through a wall for you. Unfortunately, we didn't win as much. But congratulations to Matt McLeese on a great career. And we were having these two-a-days right before camp. We would go to camp. We went to, like, wherever. And, you know, you'd go for a week and have all those two-a-days, but you would, like, go away right before school. But before that, we had these two-a-days at Cary High School. And I remember me and my buddy Fitz, in between the two-a-days, went to McDonald's one day. And I don't know if it was the first time they had double quarter pounders or it was just the first time we recognized it, but we were both, like, starving after a exhausting football practice, and I think we both got like two double quarter pounders, and remember leaving McDonald's, looking at each other going, how the hell are we going back and doing more? I can't move after eating all that McDonald's. How am I going to go back and have another football practice? I'm going to throw up everywhere. I don't remember how football practice went, but I remember leaving the first one with Fitz, going to McDonald's, getting two double quarter pounders, leaving McDonald's, and like, looking at each other like that was a huge mistake. I don't know how we're going to go back and do a second practice in the heat. I don't know how we're going to do it. But I guess we did it. God knows I did it. All county.
I've heard stories before people, you know, they go get a Big Mac or they get the double cheeseburgers. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say they got two quarter pounders.
Two double quarter pounders.
Mm-hmm. So, and back then, those things might have actually been a quarter pound.
Yeah. No, they were big. I'm telling you, we both looked at each other like that was a huge mistake. We were starving. We went to McDonald's, got two double quarter pounders. I'll never forget it. And we left going, I don't even know if I can go back to practice. But yeah, those were the two-a-days of high school football. How I miss those days. I try and tell my son now, like, it's so cliche. You become that guy. As you, there's no way, you know those commercials where what insurance company where they, is it Progressive?
I think it's Progressive.
Right, and the guy tries to coach the people out of becoming their parents. Yeah, they're very good commercials. They're very funny. Oh, gas stations. And he can't keep it, he's got to keep he can't have awkward silence or whatever. Like, we all become that guy telling the kids, oh, enjoy your youth. Like, don't waste this. The best time of your life. We all become that guy. And my son was frustrated today about something and, you know, the end of school and summer, whatever. And I was just like, bro, what are you complaining about? You're 8 years old and the summer's about to start. My God, if I could be eight right before the summer, like that's the greatest time ever. You have zero responsibilities.
You're going to do whatever you want all summer long. You're going to go to camp and play sports. Like, you do whatever you want. We all become that guy when kids are frustrated or whatever. Like, man, oh man, if I would give anything to be 8 right before summer vacation. Like, that's prime. I'm probably different than some. Like, if a genie ever came down or whatever and said, you know, you can go back and start from whenever.
I like how you said genie come down. Like, genies famously come from one way.
I fell a lamp. They don't really come from, they come from a lamp. I understand that. A guardian angel. Somebody comes down, comes out of a lamp, whatever the case may be. All right, Fleegs, you're being, I'm talking about getting 3 wishes and you're being very, you know, matter of fact about it. Like, it's not a completely ridiculous take. If you're going to talk about wishes, Chris, at least get it right. If someone gave me the opportunity to go back, like, I've had this conversation with my wife and a lot of people wouldn't go back as far as 8. Like, everyone's like, oh, I'd go back to college. I'd go back to senior year of high school. I'd go back to my early 30s. Like, not me. I'd go back to 8. I'd go back to Little League. There was not a problem in the world. That was the best time. I moved to Franklin Square when I was 8. I was just making all my lifelong childhood friends. I played football, baseball, basketball. Every day was something. School was just whatever. I don't even remember what school was.
You go back to 8, it's like a 10-year break before then. You still get to go enjoy college again.
Right, exactly. That's
and
what
even
I'm
if you hated high school, if, like, now you know with the wisdom of like what's on the other side, well, you can push through a few years.
Yeah, well, listen, if I go back with the knowledge, I'm not going to college. If I go back with the knowledge of what's going on, I'm going to bet on a couple games. I'm going to wait for 2010 and buy a whole bunch of cryptocurrency. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to invest.
You don't even have to bet on games. You just have to go back and buy stock in the sports books before it's legalized.
No, that's a good point, too. No, I'm assuming you don't go back with knowledge because that would change everything. If I go back with knowledge of the future, then I'm living a different life. But if you could just go back and relive it, I would go back to as early as they would let me. As early as that genie from up on high who came down from the heavens allowed me to go back, I would go back. A lot of people usually stop in their 20s or whatever, not me. Take me back to 8. My son Tommy has it made in the shade. I don't know how he complains about anything in life. 8 years old as summer's about to start? And do you remember how slow time moved? Like, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, when I was a kid, the 4th of July felt like halfway through the summer. Like, 4th of July hit, and I'm like, man, it's already 4th of July. Before you know it, we're going to be back in school. Like, now it's like, 4th of July is next week. The time absolutely breezes by. It's crazy how fast it goes.
The end of July would have been devastating if not for the baseball trade deadline. Because right. It was something to get excited about.
Right. It felt like the 4th of July was like the beginning of the end of summer sometimes. And now it's like, you know, maybe I'm the only one who felt that way. But it was like it's already the 4th of July. Before you know it, we'll be back in school. Now it's literally next week. Goes by fast. But, yeah, I would definitely go back. Definitely go back. And certainly back to high school. Let's go to Leonard Leonard, we got time. Leonard in Rockland County. What's up, Leonard?
Hi, good evening. Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to speak about, I'm just a little confused. Like, what is the Knicks plan? Like, everyone's talking about it on the radio. I'm still confused. Like, is it Jason Kidd? Because, like, Jason Kidd, like, what has he proven? And the last floor is talking about Steve Nash and his podcast or whatever. Like,
Don't pay attention. That guy was just looking to make a Big Mac joke. Don't worry about it.
Right. I'm just saying, like, the Knicks, you don't go out in the Eastern Conference Finals, make it that far. Tim's like, all your points you were saying before, all those good points about how he really develops young players and
Leonard.
Really far. And, like,
No, listen, Leonard, I'm going to let you go because your phone's breaking up. I appreciate the call. I don't get it either. Like, eventually, I'm going to have to move past the idea they shouldn't have fired Tibbs. I feel very strongly about that. It's annoying me, and especially the way the coaching search has been handled. I'm more frustrated by it. And now that story from Bondi came out and pretty much listed one, like,
everything a coach is. We're going to look for a coach. It was almost laughable. I got to see if I could go find it again, the actual tweet. Because it was just, like, it was targeted towards Tibbs a little bit, and it was also just everything that you would look for in a coach. Yeah, according to a league source, Nick's emphasizing player development, larger rotations, establishing a plan for younger players, leaning on assistance, collaborating with front office, empowering staff, and excelling at in-game adjustments. And I'm like, well, that's no wonder why the coaching search is so freaking wide open. They're literally looking for everything. That seems like every single, oh, we're focusing on every single thing a coach would do. Oh, well, great. That's why you're asking everybody. Because you're not looking, like, when you fire, and I've said this a bunch, and I feel really strongly about it. When you fire a head coach who brought you to the level of success that Tibbs brought you to, it's not the same as firing Joe Judge with the New York Giants. It's not the same as firing a failed head coach and the team's a failure and you won 3 games for a football season or you won 25 games in a basketball season or whatever the case may be. It's not the same as firing Robert Saleh. It's not. In those cases, you're looking everywhere, and you want to hire a firm to help you look for a coach because you're looking for an Aaron Glenn or you're looking for a Sean McVay or you're looking for, I don't know, an identity and someone to bring a culture in. It could come from anywhere with any strength and any weakness and any sort of circumstance. You're looking for a leader of your franchise. That's what they were looking for when they hired Tibbs, and that's why they hired Tibbs. But now you've been brought to a certain level of success, and you should be looking for a targeted coach to do a certain thing. Not just some coach who's going to, you're going to give me the BS of everything that falls under the coach's purview. Of course, yeah, of course you're looking for a coach who develops players, defines roles, defines rotations, works with his assistants, you know, develops offensive game plans and in-game adjustments. Yeah, that's what a coach does. So on one hand, well, that's obvious and obviously explains why you're looking at anybody who's ever coached a basketball team under the sun. And it also explains a little bit of what you thought about Tibbs, and that's a little bit of PR saying, well, listen, clearly this is the problem. And both pissed me off. Knocking Tibbs after you fired him and the idea that everything under the coach's purview is what you're focused on when you should be focused on more specific things, in my mind. Now, again, that's just a story. Maybe I'm making too much of it. It's from an inside NBA source or whatever. I don't know. But, like, when you fire Thibodeau, when you fire a coach who had this level of success, you should be looking for a specific, like, Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson need to work together better. I need a coach who could have a little bit more. You want to just tell me in-game offensive adjustments. Okay, a failing of Tibbs, something I think this team needs. All right, let's look for a coach specifically for that. I'm not just scouring the entire NBA universe looking for a new leader. That's not where the Knicks are. The Knicks are at the precipice, and you're looking for that guy who does just the right kind of fine-tuning to get them over the top. Not a guy who's going to come over here and be better at everything. I mean, sure, that would be wonderful, but it's not. What they should be looking for something focused. And that's why, like, the names that we don't know, the James Borrego of the Pelicans, those names, or Nori, they bother me less. I'll be totally honest with you, because if they targeted an assistant head coach that everybody tells them is really good at this, he is I can't tell you how many times, coming off a timeout, he's the one speaking in the huddle and came up with a great game plan. Like, that's what he's really great at. That's where he's helped this organization. All right, let's go talk to that guy, because I'm looking for that kind of guy. Like, I'm not saying they're going to hire him, but, like, you want to give me a search and then have a bunch of random guys that I don't know, but they're really good at this, or, like, I talked to the Pelicans or I talked to the Timberwolves and he's worked with Karl-Anthony Towns and they really feel like he can unlock Karl-Anthony Towns' game. All right, that's a specific thing. Unlock Karl-Anthony Towns. Okay, let's look for a coach who unlocked Karl-Anthony Towns. Let's not look for a coach who could do everything. They're not in need of a coach who could do everything and set a culture. They have that. They need a guy who can unlock Karl-Anthony Towns. They need a guy who can be agreed in-game offensive adjustments. So when offensive assistants come up, I'm kind of okay. They don't have to hire him, and I'm not saying I'll be thrilled when they hire him, but at least that makes sense to me as opposed to, well, what teams would be available to let their head coach go? Like that seems like a bunch of nonsense to me.